B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
First and 10 for the 46. Shotgun snap on the handoff to Burkett. Flips it to Harry on the reverse. Harry gets outside.
Okay.
He runs to the 50. Harry to the 45. 40 at Buffalo. Woo. Upended. He spills head over heels. A somersault to the Buffalo 37-yard line.
And the quarterback downfield blocking off the reverse. Another reverse we haven't seen. Hit it to Burkett. He flips it to Harry.
And Tom Brady with a cup block on Tre'Davious White.
Good. He'll get him.
I'm pretty poor at just about everything other than throwing the ball, so... I was trying to just get in his way, but it was you know, a good hard run by Nikhil, and you know, it was a good play in the game.
Hour number two, Felger and Maz. Gonna get to Tom Brady now, but first. Hot Takes brought to you by Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electric. Go to Rodenheiser.com to learn more. Again, Rodenheiser.com. Thanks to our friends at Rodenheiser. Tom Brady's performance in this game, Marshall, you said it, 26 for 33. Rating over 100 for the first time since week five, I think it was. Brady threw to nine different receivers in this game and looked like the Tom Brady that we've known for the large majority of the last 19 years. Murray, how'd you feel about the quarterback?
It's his best game of the year, or the best since week one against Pittsburgh.
I mean, not even close.
Considering how he was the prior five games, and Marshall referenced the stat. It was put up by ESPN Stats and Info after the game. He completed 79% of his passes, his best in a game since week 11 of 2017. And if you look at the previous five games, he hadn't even come close to 56%. So, yeah, he was excellent. It was vintage Brady on Saturday.
Marshall. And what was he doing? He was hitting those young guys, which has been one of the, you know, headlines of this season is, you know, if Julian Edelman isn't out there and he doesn't have Brown and, you know, he wanted the veterans, like, he'll ignore the kids. Not on Saturday. He was hitting those kids, and that's, I think, part of why it was such a good completion percentage, because he was doing vintage Brady of, you know, spreading the ball around to a variety of different receivers.
I mean, he
also hitting both tight ends.
I mean, he really threw to everybody, Marshall.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody. I mean, again, Edelman only had six targets in the game, five catches. It's not like he threw to Edelman 15 times. And that's what we've seen in some of these games, is that it was Edelman and White, or it's just the same guys over and over and over again, and force feeding guys. And or in the Baltimore game, Edelman and Sanu, those guys over and over and over again. That was it. Not this game. Edelman, six targets. Burkhead, four. White, five. Myers, three. Sanu, five. Watson, three. Harry, three. Lacoste, one for the touchdown. Even Michelle, two targets. And he completed a ball to all of those guys, at least one to every single one of them. 26 of 33, right? 26 of 33, 271 yards, a touchdown, no picks, a rating of 111. So the question then becomes, again, like we asked this about the offense as a whole, but I think it's really worth asking about Brady in particular. Is this a one-off thing, or is he out of it? Is it, when I say out of it, out of the attitude sort of sourness, the grumpy Brady? Like, it's been a few weeks now since he really, you know, threw his helmet or threw his arms up or shook his head or aired a teammate out, or it's been a few weeks. It hasn't happened since the Houston game. Has he snapped out of it, Murray?
Yeah, I don't know. I need to see more. Maybe.
Yeah, so that's how I feel. Again, I look at it and I say, I'm not quite there yet, but I don't know. Like, the fact that the offense has taken a little bit of a jump the last 2 weeks, and the Cincinnati game, it was small. Greg Bedard came in here last week, and Bedard thought the jump in the Cincinnati game was big. Most of us didn't feel that way, but again, let's say that you were somewhere in the middle. The jump in the Buffalo game is indisputable. Now, this struck me during the game, too, and I don't know if it crossed your mind. When Lacoste cut the touchdown, Brady was right down there. You know, Brady was engaged in this game. He threw the block on the Harry play, the run down by the goal line. He didn't get in, but he stuck his shoulder down, gave a little shimmy. Brady was into it right out of the chute, and he threw to everybody. And so I wonder, like, does it go hand in hand that when Brady's attitude started to improve, the offense started to improve? You follow me?
Yeah, sure.
Like, I think there's a legit cause and effect there. All of a sudden, Jacoby Myers catches everything thrown to him. All of a sudden, N'Keal Harry's putting his shoulder down and bowling people over. And, like, I just wonder if somewhere along the line...
There's a cause and effect because Brady's dad's in a good mood, so the
kids... Well, but think about it. Think about it. If you're a young guy, right, and you're going to be blamed, because I'm pretty sure that Tom Brady blames these kids when they don't catch the ball, right? And so if the general attitude is, I either need to catch this or, you know, the world's greatest quarterback is just never going to throw to me again, or whatever the if I don't kind of result is, if that's not the attitude, and who knows what happened in practice leading up to this game, but if everything feels a little bit better, then these guys probably feel a little bit looser and probably feel a little more confident and comfortable. And then when they find success... You know, success builds upon itself. So, I mean, we can get all kind of psychological and delve into the mind of all these guys.
No, please do,
but
Marshall.
Ultimately, I think all of that goes into it. I think Tom Brady was physically better. Like, he was just playing better. But I also think that these guys, if given just a little bit of confidence, that can translate into their playing better and being better on the field as well.
Marshall, if I could, I'd come over there and kiss you on the forehead.
I mean,
right
you
now.
Can, if you'd like.
Of course, your whole body has shrunk over there in the last several months. I'm not sure there's quite as much of you to kiss anymore.
Still a very big forehead,
though. Okay, so but this, I've been saying this all along. You got, Brady's 42. He's the most accomplished player in the history of the league. He's the Michael Jordan of football. N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers walked into camp and looked at Brady and almost peed their pants, for crying out loud. So now the guy starts airing them out during the course of the year and won't throw them the football and doesn't believe in their ability to catch it in practice. And that's what Gasper has suggested as it relates to Harry, that he wasn't catching the ball in practice and Brady lost confidence in him. And so then they get in the games. What do you think's going to happen? They're terrified. It's hard to play when you're terrified. So I think if Brady just tones it down a little bit and accepts the reality that there are going to be growing pains with young players, it actually has a chance to work. And wouldn't you know it? As it turns out against Buffalo, all of a sudden everybody started catching the football. Every single one of them. I think there's a huge cause and effect with Brady. Huge. If he buys in and believes in them, I think you'll see them play better. I don't know if they're good enough to win the whole thing. I don't know if they can win at Baltimore. I have no idea. But I know if they play like they did Saturday on offense, they have a hell of a lot better chance than they did early in the year.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, they'll be a hell of a lot tougher out than, you know, I felt that they would be before that game.
I mean, the crap that was going on earlier, the thing in Houston throwing his helmet and flipping out, what's that going to do? How's that going to help Myers and Harry and even Sanu, for that matter, or Lacoste? How's that going to help any of those guys?
Teach them not to suck.
I don't think that's how that works.
Rick's in Boston. Rick, what do you got?
Hey, you had asked that you mentioned have the Patriots flip the switch. I wonder if it's more of just reversion to the mean. Like, maybe they weren't as good as we thought they were, and then they weren't as bad as they looked recently. I mean, could it be that there's just the more games there are, the more of a sample size we can see who they really are?
So, Rick, had this happened in the middle of the season, I might have agreed with you. It's week 16. I mean, it's the 15th game of the year. It should never happen this late. This is the mean now is what they were for the majority of the season. So, look, again, as long as it clicks in time, then everybody's fine. And I'm not even sure that it's clicked yet, Murray. I don't know. Again, I know you don't buy into that either.
No, I don't. No.
So, I do wonder when you look at it, again, the cause and effect between Brady and the young players. Like, and you know what? He still has his doubts. I don't know if you guys read this the same way I did. Billy, we're going to call for a couple of cuts of Brady postgame here, okay? One is in an exchange. We're going to play these in chronological order. The first is an exchange he had with Tom Curran, who, if you remember, last year when Brady came off the field following the San Diego playoff victory, Tracy Wolfson of NBC asked him about going to Kansas City for the AFC Championship game, and Brady said, yeah, you know, we played him early in the year. We'll see how it goes. You know, I know everybody thinks we suck, but we'll see how it goes down there. Okay, so Curran asked him a question related to that on Saturday. Here's how it went.
Tom, is there any extra reward when there are so many people saying, boy, I don't know if this offense has it. I don't know if the Patriots can do what they have done in the past. You kind of fed off it last year a little bit when you said, everybody says we suck. We'll see.
Yeah.
Did that enter into it at all this year, this game?
This game? Yeah. I mean, we knew we were going up against a pretty good defense, and, you know, they played well. They're hard to move the ball on. I don't think too many of us thought about the season or much. It was really just one game, and what we needed to do to try to move the ball and score points against a pretty good team. So I think all those evaluations and stuff take place after the year, and we're just trying to grind our way through it. Got to take care of business next week, try to win, and then it's a playoff game for us next week. We win, we miss a week, which is a pretty good reward.
He wouldn't touch it. He wouldn't touch it, right? He's not going to sit there and say, yeah, we've turned a corner, because he still has his doubts.
Yeah, he's right to.
Okay, he still has his doubts. So again, it's one thing for you and me to have doubts. But again, Brady still, now look, on one level, I think he's sort of challenging his teammates. Fellas, we got to repeat it. And he's right. But Brady still has his doubts. I think he's the key to the whole thing. His attitude is the key to the whole thing. Karen Garigian of the Herald asked him a similar question. Okay, and again, I thought both answers were interesting. Billy, play that exchange.
Given all the things that did go well offensively today, is this something that you can carry over into the next game? Does it give you confidence? Is it something that you can truly build on?
Yeah, I think it was, more balanced than we've been, and we ran the ball good and effectively against a really good defense. So that's always good. I think one game doesn't always necessarily lead to the next. So I think you just have to, you just have to keep building, week to week on some things that maybe we did good that worked out, and the things that didn't, you kind of move on from them. But we knew that it was going to be a tough test. And, we got the ball. We turned, I think we lost the turnover battle. I don't think they turned it over. And we lost one and then missed the fourth down opportunity before half. So hate to have those things happen, but glad we overcame it.
One game doesn't necessarily lead to the next. One game doesn't necessarily lead to the next.
Yeah, you could blow me for feeling that. Blow the quarterback, the greatest of all time.
So he does. It's like, even
because he knows outside of Edelman and White, like, he's surrounded by just guys.
Yeah.
Just guys.
It does. He looked at the whole thing, though, and he said, yeah, that was good. Now we got to do it again. And then we have to do it again. And then we have to do it again. So it's like, even Brady not sold. But I told you, I think there's a direct correlation between Brady's attitude and the play of the team. Like, again, it's been improving little by little the last few weeks. And then all of a sudden they come out on Sunday and they play like that. Good game plan, good performance by the quarterback, good response from all the other guys on the offense. And you know what? I don't think I'm the only one who thinks this way. I think somebody far more important than me, as it pertains to the state of the Patriots, also thinks the same thing. In fact, we have a little proof for you when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What's the mental toughness of this team, and what's it mean to you?
It means continuing to do the right thing for the team when things aren't going right for you personally. That could involve a lot of different things, but, sometimes when things aren't going your way, the way you want them to go, you still do what's best for the team and do what you can to make the team better. And we have 53 guys in there and a coaching staff that does that on a daily basis. So that's all you can ask for.
Bill Belichick after the game. I think all of this relates to Tom Brady. I do. But that comment I found particularly interesting because we use the term all the time, right? Mental toughness. And I view that as the ability to sort of persevere against adversity. Things aren't going your way. The opponents are up 10 points. Are you going to cave or are you going to fight back? That to me is sort of what mental toughness is. Bill Belichick, I don't know, Murray, you tell me. This to me is a slightly different variation of it. And maybe it's what he said every time when he's been asked to describe what mental toughness is. I don't look at it that way. I thought this was a different answer, and I thought it was pointed at really one person in particular. Okay, Billy, if we could, let's play that cut again. Okay, so just listen to what he says. This is Belichick, and I think this is Bill Bird of the Lawrence Eagle Tribune. Assuming Billy, does he still work for Lawrence? You guys don't even know. Yeah. All right. Well, Marshall does. Murray doesn't know who the hell Bill Bird is.
Thank you.
Okay.
Canadian?
Bill Burt was a guest on the Hooked on Sports program in the Merrimack Valley in the early, late 90s.
Burt. Bill Burt with
That's
a T.
That's what I just said.
No, I know, I know. He said Burr, I think.
Yeah.
In any case, so here is the exchange between Bill Burt and Belichick again on mental toughness. Go ahead, Billy.
What's the mental toughness of this team, and what's it mean to you?
It means continuing to do the right thing for the team when things aren't going right for you personally. That could involve a lot of different things, but, you know, sometimes when things aren't going your way, the way you want them to go, you still do what's best for the team and do what you can to make the team better. And you know, we have 53 guys in there and a coaching staff that does that on a daily basis, so that's all you can ask for.
I mean, you tell me, Murray, am I being a jackass by reading into that?
No, you're not alone. So my Twitter feed was full of this. The way that you feel about this and people commenting on it, you know, Saturday night when I was doing the post game with Beadle, I can understand why you and others feel that way. I don't think he would have done that. I think that's more of a blanket statement. Anyone can have a bad day, and anyone, you know, any player, whether it's a special teamer, your kicker, the quarterback, you know, you might have a bad day. You might be feeling down. Things aren't going your way, but you still got to dig deep, and you got to think about the other 52. You know, like I think that was more of a blanket statement.
I think it relates to the quarterback.
I don't see how it doesn't. Like, fine, maybe there are other people it relates to too. But that, to me, seems a pretty straightforward shot because, like, you know, the punt returner, if he has a bad day, there's not a lot he can do to affect the rest of the team, right? He's just either going to do his job or not. The quarterback, there's a guy who, if he's having a bad day, he can let that affect everything else around him in a way that no other player can. And so how do you not listen to those words and say he's talking about Tom Brady?
So, Murray, here's what I would tell you. Maybe he was talking about Brady, maybe he wasn't, okay? But it applies to Brady. It applies. 100% it applies. You know, again, throw the ball to the guys that are open. Throw the ball to the guys you're supposed to. Keep doing what you're supposed to do for the good of the team, even if you personally aren't having a great day. Or, in this case, a great year. And your completion percentage is 50% for the year. Keep doing it. Keep doing it.
Yeah, and in most cases, I'm with you guys on this kind of thing. I just thought, because he was so giddy after the game, because to go with the way that you guys are saying it, like, that's a shot. Like, that's a shot. And I don't know, considering his mood, again, wearing a divisional championship hat, I think, for the first time ever, I don't think that's what he was going for. But that's just me.
See, I think he's been frustrated by the quarterback's play and attitude. I think he's been frustrated by it. And again, I'm not telling you that he's, like, you know, ready to do anything drastic or ridiculous or anything else. But I think that he's been frustrated. I said this last week. If you were to ask Belichick, what's the problem with the offense? He would give you a laundry list of items. The quarterback would be on it. I don't think he would leave the quarterback off the list. And so this is why, at the end of last week, when he was asked about the completion percentage of Brady being around 50% or 60% for the year, the lowest of his career, is that a number that you want to get up? Bill wouldn't answer the question. Usually he would say, well, look, you know, there's a lot of people involved in a play, and he would spread it all out. No, you know, because the answer in his mind is yes. Yes, we want to get it up, and part of the problem is the quarterback. Or his attitude. Okay, so look again. Brady was terrific Saturday night. It's his best game of the year. And I don't know if they can repeat it as a group or not. Brady certainly has his doubts about the receivers, and he might be right. But if he doesn't believe in it, they have no shot. They have no shot. It looked to me like Saturday night, he was at least willing to try or try believing in it. And, you know, again, to me, 23 or 24 with their defense, you take your chances. Eddie's in Rhode Island. Eddie, go.
I was just wondering, are we talking about the New England Patriots, or are we talking about the New England Millennials? Because you're over here expecting Tom Brady to, like, go over and give hugs after each play or give out milk and cookies after each series for bad play. His attitude is because he's always picking himself up off the ground all year. Finally, the offensive line's holding back, and he's able to get plays off. Everybody's been able to get open, and the running game's be able to go. So, yeah, everybody's attitude, winning and not getting your butt kicked all the time, makes for a better player.
Starts with him, Eddie.
He's chirped on the sidelines his whole career. You go back and you look, even when they're winning, he's always telling them, play harder, play faster. Now you want him to kiss their butt and say, nice try, guys. Let's do better next time. I'll let you talk.
I mean, it was not the offensive line that he was caught screaming at on the sidelines a few weeks ago. And yeah, by the way, I don't think it's the worst thing ever to suggest that the by far and away leader of your team and the most veteran presence be something more than screaming and blaming. Like, blaming is no better. I mean, that's not a good behavior. It doesn't mean you have to sit there and, I don't know, whatever you said, give them cookies and milk or what have you. But that doesn't mean that you have to also blame them for everything that goes wrong or scream at them for everything that goes wrong, or even worse, just remove them from the team. Like, well, I'm not going to throw you to you anymore. You missed that one, so I'm not going to throw to you anymore, because they are a vital part of the team. You have to throw the ball to somebody, and you are at your best when you are spreading it around to every guy in the field. And those two guys, or three if you include Matt Lacoste, are a big part of your options to throw it to. And if you won't do it because they made a mistake, because they are inexperienced, ignore their actual age. Just look at it from experience. They haven't played 20 NFL seasons. You have. It takes a little bit of time, and it is your job to help them do that. And by the way, it makes your job easier.
Yeah, what I would say to Eddie is I'm not looking for Brady to give Jacoby Myers a tongue bath. Okay? I'm just looking for him to not be an a-hole. Dave's in Methuen. Dave, go.
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy holidays.
You too, you Dave.
Too. We got to talk about McDaniel's call, that fourth down call.
Dave, if you have us on speaker, can you take us off speaker?
Sure. That fourth down call McDaniels called to the end of the first half, that's fucked.
Okay, I'm going to let him go. I was getting frustrated with that guy.
I would have preferred something up the middle, or even if you just, you know, have the QB sneak. That tends to work like 95, 96% of the time. Obviously did later in the game. I didn't particularly like the play call. I didn't mind them going for it, though.
So I told you, I'd have punted there. I don't think they can try to control the game with their offense. I think that that's a mistake. Unless we see this with some sort of regularity, then I'll change my mind. But the one thing I think we all agree on, Murray, what a horrendous play call. What an absolutely, positively horrendous play call, and a worse block by Mohamed Sanu. If Sanu makes the block, they probably get it. I'll say this for N'Keal Harry. He's tough to bring down, man. When he gets rolling,
he's a moose.
He really is. He's hard to bring down. The more you see him with the ball in his hands, the more you like it. He's a hard guy to get to the ground. And you can see that finally the Patriots are starting to integrate him into the offense. And that I will give McDaniels credit for. McDaniels has done a nice job there with Harry in the last couple of games getting him the football. Our Marshall Hook has your headlines when we come back. More from the coach on Tom Brady's performance in this game. Okay, we'll get to Bill Belichick's remarks next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all seen Tom play a lot of his best football in the most critical games of the year, in those critical situations in those games. And, you know, nobody prepares harder than Tom does. And he was ready to go. Got a lot of help from the running game, the offensive line, the receivers. But as you said, he was on the money. He was sharp, and again, that's what we need from everybody. It's this time of year, so we gotta play like this every week, and our season's gonna end quickly. So we all know that, and nobody knows it better than he does. And he prepares and works as hard or harder than anybody to make sure that he's at his best, and he certainly was today. He had a good day today.
No, another interesting comment from Bill Belichick on Tom Brady. I particularly like the way he ended it. Again, the way he said it there. Yeah, you know, he had a good day today. Even Bill was happy with Tom. With Tom. Because I think Belichick understands it better than anybody. If Brady buys in, it's easier to get everyone else on board. And Brady this year felt like he didn't believe for a long period of time. And just the way he said it, I don't know, you listen, Tom had a good day today. as if to say, you know, I typically don't talk about the individuals, but I'm going to give Tom his love today because he led us. And I thought Brady looked like vintage Brady in that game, and not just with the passes, with the whole level of engagement, everything. The block that he threw on the Harry play, the run down by the goal line, the quarterback sneaks, the way he was responding to teammates, they fed off him in this game. They fed off him.
What did you think of that block, by the way?
I thought it was, look, it wasn't, you know, I mean, it was an effective block, you know, but Brady always does that. He dives for a guy's legs. Most times he misses. In this case, he got it. And White went down.
Yeah.
I mean, so it did. Why? You think it was overrated?
No, I think it was dumb is what it was.
Oh, I see.
Leading with a head, 42-year-old quarterback. Knee to the head, you're concussed. And then what? You're on the shelf for a couple of weeks. Then we're, you know, hoping he's going to be back for the playoffs. I just, like, and I get it, you know, and the place goes nuts when he does that kind of thing. I just think there's a big risk there.
So I'll tell you what, Murray, as you say, the Patriots did a couple of dumb things in this game. Again, the Brady thing didn't, I didn't feel like there was a risk of injury there. What surprised me is that the block worked. Usually he dives at a guy's legs and he misses. Well, the guy goes right by him.
It's more for show than anything else.
Right, really. But this was a good block. It was an effective block. But there's, you know, there's something else that they did in this game that did drive me bananas, which we'll do. I'll tell you what, we'll do next segment. But I'll tell you what, let's get back to your calls. Noel is in New Hampshire on the running game, which was also a part of their success. Go ahead, Noel.
I think they take of, you know, Bill and the Patriots and Tom, they're chestnut checkers type guys. And I just think that, you know, you play most of the season, you try to squeak out wins without giving the opponents too much tape. Bill said in that last segment that Brady prepares more than anybody. I think a lot of that is watching tape. So why are you going to play and, you know, run all your good plays early in the season?
Noel,
to the point.
Do you believe that they have been playing possum all year and that all of a sudden a big game came and they just unleashed everything?
I think they do it every year. I think they try to wait and not give the opponents too much to look at and plan for. And then when the games come to count, they surprise everybody.
Okay, so go ahead, Marshall. You're shaking your head.
I hate this Patriots take that I hear all the time. The game against Kansas City didn't matter. The game against Houston didn't matter. The game against Baltimore didn't matter.
Marshall, the game against Kansas City cost him potentially a bye. Let's see how it plays out.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Like,
The game against Baltimore cost him the AFC Championship here. The game against Kansas City cost him both, right?
Yeah, they still have not clinched a first-round bye. Because if they go in and lose to the Dolphins, and I get it, everyone, oh, it's the Dolphins. The Dolphins are not a winless team, right? I may bet the house on that they could beat the Miami Dolphins at home, and then that would lock it in. But are you telling me the game against Kansas City didn't count? That they're like, oh, we got some plays, but we're not gonna use them right here, because this is only the Kansas City Chiefs, our primary or second to primary, you know, opponent in all of the AFC. This game doesn't matter, so we won't pull out the stops for this one. We'll wait until Buffalo. Buffalo is the game that mattered? Come on.
Yeah, or the Houston game for that matter either, right? I mean, yeah. there were home field repercussions in that one.
Yeah, if it wasn't the holiday season, I would normally say a caller like that is a complete idiot, and anyone that thinks like that. Same type of people that think, oh, no, Belichick sent that taping crew to Cincinnati to motivate the team and to get everyone to stop talking about the team and something off the field. I would normally call those people complete and utter dolts, but I won't because it's the holiday season.
Yeah, they're playing possum. I love that one. Like, as Marshall said, no, they didn't need the Kansas City game. If they had lost yesterday and Kansas City won, you're playing divisional weekend. Kansas City did win, obviously. Yeah. Our buddy Tony in Stoneham. What do you got, Tony?
Listen, you think I pick on you guys all the time. I don't pick on you guys. The thing is, I don't know when you're talking facts and when you're talking your own opinion. Now, let's talk about yesterday.
It's a very well-crafted show. It's supposed to be a fine line there, Tony.
I know, and I see that. Now, let's talk about yesterday. Let's give me a little time here. The big difference in that game yesterday is, one, they ran the ball. Two, they didn't have any drop passes, maybe one, when normally they've had four, five, six. They set records, team records this year with drop passes and Brady throwing the ball away.
Yep.
So those things didn't happen yesterday. And Harry and the other guy, Myers, they're finally learning the game and learning the Patriot way, whatever. And that's what the problem's been all year. They haven't been on the same page with Brady. And that's why he's had such bad completion percentages.
Tony.
Because they're breaking the wrong way when he's throwing the ball.
Tony, are you confident that they can repeat what they did on Saturday?
Well, that's the next thing I was going to tell you. You know, we're getting all excited because of Saturday's game. Who did they play? They played a team that's got no offense. And they got a team that has a decent defense. And they were able to run the ball, and that made the big difference. I want to see them do this against a team that has an offense.
Okay, Tony, I'm going to stop you there just because I want to get to other people.
I'm with him in that I need to see it against another really good team. But that is, I think, a really good team. I give Buffalo a little bit more credit than I think he does. Now, I think Josh Allen blows, and he left a couple of plays out on the field at least. But I think their defense is damn good.
I mean, the Patriots held the ball for almost 39 minutes in this game. And what were they on third down? I don't have it in front of me. It was something really good, though. 7-for-14 on third down. 7-for-14. This is a team that, for oftentimes during the course of the year, has sucked on third down. They've sucked in the red zone. They were able to punch these things in and get touchdowns in this game. Okay, so, and they were able to get them at critical times, let alone a two-point conversion when they needed it. So I don't think it was all about their ability to run the ball, but Murray, I know you were, did you say earlier that you thought the Landon Roberts thing was big too?
I thought that was big because I thought that was kind of gimmicky initially. It's like, okay, you're going to take a linebacker because he's a big moose and have him be your fullback because you don't have James Devlin. Like, okay, let's see how this worked out. It actually looks like it's kind of working. So I can understand how people look at that and say, okay, they found something there. Josh McDaniels has found something. This is something they can build off of, and this is how they can flip the switch for the second consecutive year. It also feels like to me that they're getting really good. The running game has been better with Rex Burkhead these last couple of weeks. Now, people wanted to say that last week after Cincinnati. I couldn't take it seriously because it's the Cincinnati Bengals. He ran hard in this game, and I like that they didn't go away from him after that fumble on the first drive. You know, that touchdown that he had, he essentially gets blown up by Matt Milano, the linebacker of the Bills.
Terrific run.
Bounced off him and just went right into the end zone. Like, that was a tough-ass run.
Terrific run.
Yeah.
And so I think Burkhead runs hard. I don't know how good he is as a runner. But I like him in there over Michelle because he can catch the ball, too, and it just gives the defense more to think about.
And the thing with Roberts, too, at least when it comes to Sony Michelle, looks like I thought he was good in this game, and he feels like that's, you know, people say he's ran better when he's had the fullback, right? Well, I think Saturday night was indicative of that. He's way more comfortable when he has a lead blocker.
I mean, look, again, I'll give you my thoughts on Atlanta Roberts when we come back. I know Jeff in Phoenix is on the line. He wants to do the same, so we'll do that. And Murray said earlier that he thought Brady's block was stupid. Stupid. I'll tell you what I think the stupidest thing the Patriots did on Saturday was. We'll tell you that when we come back.
Sports. Austin's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
This is a big one here. For halftime, tied at 10. Harry to the right on the outside short side of the field. Watson stands up on the right wing. Two receivers left. Edelman slots inside of Sanu. And now Watson motions left. White to the right of Brady. Second and eight. Time with a quick step throw left for Benjamin Watson. Carries to the 25-20. 15-10. 5. End zone. And there's a penalty trailing the play. It's a touchdown Patriots if it stands.
Edelman,
but there's
down.
A penalty flag back at the 30-yard line.
They're going to call Edelman on a pick? And Edelman laid down on the turf.
The officials conferencing.
The Buffalo laughing here. What a bunch of punks.
11. Second down.
Get him again on a double move. They're ripe for a double move, man. They are over aggressive. Right? He goes right in there with the shoulder.
Ran right into Jordan Poyer.
He knows it. Bill knows it. It's the right call.
One of the big plays of the game at the time. Again, Patriots at that stage were down 17-13. They got possession of the ball. They're on their own 30. I'm sorry. I got this backwards. Of course, I'm looking at the wrong one. The completion there to Ben Watson for a touchdown that got called back on a pass interference call on Julian Edelman. Let's start with the obvious thing, Murray. Good call or bad call? You heard Zolak say they made the right call.
Yeah, it was the right call.
Marshall?
I think it was questionable, but it was fine.
Okay, the Patriots got called for PI twice in this game, offensive PI twice. In fact, there was another one on Ben Watson a short time later. That was the one where the Patriots were down 17-13. They got a big gain to James White. The play got called back. They ended up having a punt. Okay? So it killed, it helped kill a possession anyway, the offensive pass interference penalty. They got called for it twice in this game. But I want to focus on the one to Edelman. Murray, a little while ago, you said that the block by Brady, when Brady dropped to the turf, took out Tre'Davious White, that you thought it was dumb.
Yeah, it was just too much risk involved for a 42-year-old quarterback.
42-year-old guy, exactly right. I mean, again, I didn't have a problem with it, but I understand the argument. And more often than not, Brady's blocks aren't effective. This one was. So I certainly understand the point of view. The play that I thought was the stupidest play of the game was Edelman. And not just the pick, which was a pick.
Trying to sell the injury.
So he laid on the field, and he said after the game that he was trying to sell the injury. And it got him put in the concussion protocol. So, like, I look at that one and say, so let me get this straight. Now you're trying to, in trying to draw a pass interference penalty, or, you know, or trying to avoid an offensive, whatever. Either you're trying to avoid it and just chalk it up as a collision, or, you know, sell, as he said, sell it. Sell that it wasn't a design pick. He ends up going to the concussion protocol, and he misses 15 minutes of the game. How stupid is that?
Well, just considering how the offense started to stall, it was incredibly stupid. And if you're going to fake an injury, grab your leg. Like, he should know that. No, seriously, like, you lay down like that, of course the concussion spotter is going to think, oh, he had a big collision here. We're going to have to check him out. And I was wondering what the hell was happening at the time. And I think there was a lot of confusion because, you know, why is he being brought in? And you see him yelling back, like, it made and you find out afterwards he was basically saying, like, no, I'm fine. Like, I don't need to get checked. I need to still be in the game. I'm fine. I was just trying to sell that. Well, he should have sold something else.
My arm is broken.
Yeah, totally. So again, look, and just to go over where they were at that stage, 10:50 to go in the third quarter. You're up 13-10. You're moving the ball. And then Edelman gets called for offensive PI. Now you have a 2nd and 18. And you have a 2nd and 18 with Edelman off the field. So Brady goes incomplete to Sanu. Brady then completes to Sanu for 10 yards, but you're 8 short. You settle for a field goal. You get 3 points there. Okay, so I'm sorry. The game was 10-10. Now you go up 13-10. Then Buffalo scores on the long pass. They're up. You get the ball, you punt. Buffalo punts. And now this finally is where Myers starts to get a little bit better and the Patriots get another field goal, 17-16. But the point is, it cost them a touchdown maybe on the first possession. Then they went 3 and out. And if Edelman is in there, does it cost them a touchdown on the second possession? Like, that ended up being a big deal, Murray.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what a mistake. And what? Because you're flopping around on the field trying to sell a play? You get yourself pulled off the field for 15 minutes? I mean, really, unbelievable. Jeff in Phoenix wants to talk about something Murray hit on earlier. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, Murray hit it pretty good. I called you guys right after the Dallas game. They called it a significant subtlety, and that was with Landon Roberts as the fullback. If you watch Sonny Michel, how he runs much more effectively when you have a strong fullback in the I formation. And with Devlin in, it was a knockout blow. And I call Devlin the hammer. With Landon Roberts in, it's been working very well. I call Landon Roberts the sledgehammer. This guy blasts people, and it makes Sonny Michel so much more effective out of the I formation.
Well, he certainly runs more confident with a lead blocker like that. And so, you know, credit to him. He saw it early. You know, I just thought it was like kind of a gimmick initially. It's like, okay, you get a big body there, but is he really going to be able to block the way that Devlin did? He did in this game. I mean, Sonny Michel ran really confidently. It might have been his best game of the season.
Yeah, look, Roberts was good in this game. I mean, I was just looking it up because I was curious. He played 21 snaps on offense, only 2 on defense, right, and 3 on special teams. So I thought he might have been out on the field more on defense. Obviously, they wanted to play him on just one side of the ball. He was effective there in that role. Michelle does seem to run better with a fullback. You know what's coming next. is that they're going to throw.
Oh, they're going to throw one. Absolutely.
Right? They're going to throw to him.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they're working on that part of it. And again, these are the kinds of things they're going to have to do. You know, in a lot of ways, you'd say you're wasting a player by having him out there. They're just putting an additional blocker on the field. There's not and nothing else Roberts can do, but I guarantee you they're working on throwing the ball to him.
And he's certainly relishing the role. Did you see his quote after
the
game?
I did. Yeah, but why don't you share it with everyone, Murray?
On playing fullback, Landon Roberts, quote, "I run through a mother effer's face. Offense, defense, special teams don't matter."
I mean, there was a lot to look. There was a lot to like about how they played. Again, it looked like an old school Patriots football game. Everybody was involved. Brady spread the ball around. They were able to run it. The only thing I didn't like in this game, to me, was the plays on defense, the big plays on defense, and those are no small thing. That's a huge thing. So if you were to assess the play of the defense in this game, like you know, I don't want to hear that the performance from the defense was dominating. I mean, there were a couple of huge mistakes there that almost gave that game away, which is not what you would have expected given the way the Patriots have built this year. In any case, top of the hour, no commercials, longest commercial-free segment here on Felger and Maz. Marshall Hook has your headlines. Notice I didn't call you Marshall Cook.
Yeah, we still have time. Two more hours.
Marshall Hook has your headlines. Murray and I will be back. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.